Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about God's faithfulness, His goodness, man, the process of the life that He takes us on, and how that looks like in your life with when we follow in His footsteps. I'm here with Pastor Terrence Antonio here, and we are so glad you are here. I want to invite you to stick through all the way through, like, share, comment, subscribe, everything you need to do to help us get the word out. If this blesses you, hey, leave a comment. We'd love to get back with you and pray with you. Pastor Terrence is our guest today. This is the first time like on the Rock Life Podcast.
Yes.
I know you've hosted with different things and you've put out a lot of content. Give us a brief introduction. By no means are you new to the Rock family. You're not even new to the Rock staff, although you're new to the Rock pastoral staff. So congratulations to you, Pastor Terrence, our youth pastor as of, was it January?
January.
Yeah, yes, as of January. So we're a few months in. What's it like? How you doing? What's the journey been?
It's fun. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's fun though. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously it has been a journey. Definitely a lot of faith involved. A lot of stuff that we could be honest on this podcast.
That's the only thing we want to do.
You know, you don't want to do, but you have to do a lot of things that are necessary, a lot of hard conversations, you know, a lot of messiness and things like that you have to be the pastor through. So I think I'm just getting a real glimpse of that side of it. The you know, the preaching side is awesome, and I did the administrative side for a long time, but now I'm getting a lot of more of like the behind the scenes conversations, having to be honest with people. So that's different. It's not anything I'm not used to, but I just think doing it, and then, you know, it kind of removes any people pleasing that you have in. You got to kind
of stripped of that, huh?
Being stripped of it completely. You just kind of got to trust God with everything. So, but it's been fun. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, you mentioned it. Give us a little bit of give us some of the backstory. You know, for many people, if you're part of the Rock Church family, Pastor Terrence might be someone new to you. Mm-hmm. But again, he's been how long you been coming here? What other roles and parts have you played? And give us a brief introduction about who you are.
So I first time came here 2010. I was in high school, freshman year of high school. Pastor Jim Cobray was preaching, and I just remember sitting in the audience thinking like, man, why do these people let him talk to them? like why are they so okay with this? But there was something in me that was like, I like being talked to like that. Like there's somebody, it's like his sternness and his ferociousness and audaciousness. I was like, this guy is crazy, but I loved it so much. I appreciated it. And then I just kept, you know, coming to church throughout the years. But then as an adult, really started, I'd say 2016. Mm-hmm. So when I first met you and Pastor Joe, coming here, young adults, things like that. And, you know, just I did little things with you guys and serving under Pastor Richard and things like that.
You had the locks.
The long hair. I don't know if they could edit, but I was thinking they should put the picture of us on Christmas, right? On long hair, things like that. But yeah, just doing just fun stuff like that, serving, volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, honestly, back then it was really just being part of a family of believers, because I was coming out of like the world and doing things that, you know, I shouldn't have been doing. And there was part of me that was still doing those things, but there was something about being a part of like a church. So like, man, these people are like aspiring for something more, and just more and more, just, I want to be around people like that. I remember feeling like that a lot. And then I think it was 2021, I officially came on staff. God spoke to me, said, join the janitors team. And I was like, God, I don't want to be a janitor at the church. Like, I don't want to do that. He's like, no, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. So I was obedient. I joined the team.
And now at that time you were married.
Yeah.
You had a family. Yeah. You needed to provide.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, you even had another opportunity that maybe would have looked like it would have provided more, but it was taking you away from the house.
Right. Yeah. It was just God.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things with God where it's like, I don't like willfully being disobedient, you know?
No, that's good. As we shouldn't, right?
Right. And I'm like, man, God, because there's something just about, you know, everybody that does maintenance here, you wear this green shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just don't want to put that green shirt on. Because there's like a stigma that comes from being on a maintenance team. It's like, oh, could he not get a job anywhere else? Right? Like, what are you doing? Are you cleaning toilets? You know, you're doing all that stuff. But I was obedient. I did it. And not to pat myself, it was just God. Because there's times when you have to be obedient when you don't want to be obedient.
Right.
And that was for sure one of those moments.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously, I'll get to the end of it, but in hindsight, I understand why God told me to do the maintenance job now.
Yeah.
But I did maintenance for a little bit. Then eventually, I became the PE teacher. From there, I became your assistant, became Pastor Donnie's assistant. I did that for like a little over like a year and a half, I think. And that was interesting, too. That was interesting. And then eventually now, sitting here as a youth pastor.
Well, because there was dynamics and relationship changes. And I think many people even listening, they go through that in their everyday life, too. People that maybe even on their job site where relationship changes happen. And how do you work with that, right? People that you were just buddies with and colleagues with, and maybe they get promoted or you get promoted and it changes that. So you had to navigate that. What were some of the challenges or differences? I know, like, for you and I, some of the relationship was just as a pastoral, right? Like, I was a pastor and friend, and then going into supervisor, that changes. Like, I know I had to grow through a lot of those things too. There's awkward conversations for and times. What were some of the things that you faced or challenges, and how'd you overcome them?
Man, so just doing a bunch of stuff you don't want to do. Back to that. I feel like it's just the same thing. Like, that, you know, it's crazy. I think, like, in the Bible, when you think of, say, like Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually, he becomes the second man in charge of all of Egypt.
Yeah.
But to get there, there was a bunch of stuff that I'm sure he did not want to do. I'm sure he did not want to get sold into slavery.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't want to get betrayed or lied to by Potiphar's wife. I'm sure he didn't want to go to prison and be forgotten about by the person who interred. And it's just like, but God's just building you up. So I think for working under you and Pastor Donnie specifically was just that submission part. Just whatever they say, I have to do it. Even if I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like the way they said it. I don't like the way it felt. Right. You know, I had to do it. And I think for me, it's like, it's just a stripping away. And
That's good.
It's that obedience, man.
Yeah.
Like Pastor Jess talked about it, and shout out our pastors. Like, she mentioned, like, you know, passing the test and things like that. And I think, like, people applaud, like, that part. Like, you pass tests, right? And that seems cool. But, like, when you're in the testing, it does not, like, man, you're just like, when is this going to be over type thing, you know? But eventually, like, I think God broke me down so much that I didn't even care how much longer I was in it. I just knew, like, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
Right? I just need to be faithful, be obedient. And then to now, as a pastor, it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Like, every day. Like, there's times you get up there and preach and you're like, man, is this even making sense? Like, you do an altar call and nobody raises their hand. You go home and you know, this, you feel this as a pastor, like, discouragement jumps on you as a pastor. Where it's like, man, I just want to quit. Like, you know, this isn't paying off. Like, there's no, like, the rewards.
Yeah, where's the upside?
Yeah, like, man, this ain't. But then it's like, okay, wake up tomorrow and be obedient again. And wake up every day. And I feel like that's what was beat into me over all those years. It was just obedient, do what God says over and over again. And I've just completely trusted him with all of that. And he's, like, it's worked out.
Yeah, it's worked out. That's good. Well, what have been some of the things, what are some of your observations now? You're in youth ministry. Again, you served in all different capacities. But I know youth ministry wasn't even the initial trajectory of where you thought you were coming in, although you, of course, have a heart for youth and have always had a heart for youth. But that's not the mindset you were initially maybe thought you might come in with.
Right.
What has the Lord shown you just on the journey of kind of some of those unexpected turns? Yeah. And then what are some of your observations that you see in the youth that you maybe didn't think about?
Right. Well, yeah. So backstory, I was with you for young adults. And I was, like, kind of training under you, honestly, you know, like, you were kind of getting ready to transition out. I think you felt it, like, everybody knew it was coming. It kind of felt like naturally I would step into that role when all of a sudden, you know, God threw us a curveball.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, you're not going to do young adults, actually. And I just remember being so mad because I think, you know, I think it was 2023. And I remember, like, young adults, we were in, like, a really good spot at that time.
Yeah.
Like, things were flowing. We were doing, like, the off weeks, we were doing things, and there was like a good energy to young adults. There's people that were excited to come, and I was thinking about even, like, Eileen, like, she does our social media now. Like, that was, like, some of her first times coming in, and there's a lot of people now that are, like, on staff now that it was in a good place.
It was a good season.
It was a good season, and then God threw us a curveball, and I had to step down, and that was hard. And especially when he said for youth, because, like, I was a PE teacher, but I really didn't want to be around youth. I just, you know, I'm just like, I deal with these kids Monday through Friday, like, they're a headache, you know, they don't listen, they're loud, they're obnoxious and all these things. But I think it was just like, okay, God, why do you want me with these teens? Like, I had to really, and I will be completely honest with you. Like, if I'm frustrated with God, I will tell him, like, God, I don't like this. I don't appreciate this. I'm not happy about this. And I will not lie to God. Like, when I read the Psalms, I read about David.
No, you're good. That's right.
Talking to God, being very honest with him, not holding back.
You abandoned me.
Right, man. Like, why have you forsaken me? Like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, so I'm just very honest with God. And he didn't really respond to me. He was like, just keep being obedient. Just do it. Right. And over time, like, these kids, like, they really need help.
Yeah.
Because they are going through a lot. Like, you know, with social media, you know, we're doing a lot on, like, school campuses, like Christian clubs. And I'm not even lying to you. When I walk on school campuses, there's something I feel in the spiritual realm. And it's heavy. It's dark. It's not good.
Yeah.
And I tell kids, I say, you guys probably don't feel this because you've become used to this feeling. You've become used to this darkness. And you've become used to this, need for approval and this feeling of self-consciousness and you don't even really see the people at your school because you're so self-conscious about how you feel and how you look. And I feel that for them. So I think like some observations is just trying to bring them out of that place. Like, I really feel like these kids, and it's not to just, you know, tell them you're great, you're awesome and all this, but they really do need encouragement.
No, you're right.
Yeah. They need somebody to tell them, hey man, like your outfit looks good today.
Yeah.
Like you know, your hair looks nice. You know, your shoes are really cool. You know, I see something in you. And I really think that's an observation I have is, I think Pastor Jim said people will go as far as they're encouraged or something to that saying, but they really just need somebody to pull them up.
Right.
Right. And I know that's why God put me here. Cause in my time observing when God, I was standing in this back corner and just watched him. And I'm very observant. So I'm watching. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to do with this? And he's like, Terrence, I need you to call gifts out of them. I need you to pull them up. I need you to bring things out of them. And that's all I've done in the first couple months I've been here. I'm like, hey man, you need to start doing this. You need to come up in here. Why? Because the truth is, like, we're here now, but I don't plan on being a youth pastor forever.
Right.
I don't plan on being here until I'm 50 years old. Yeah. I mean, that would be great if that's what God calls me to. Amazing.
Right.
But no, somebody in there needs to be preparing for this spot one day.
So
I can move on to wherever God has called me to. So I feel like it's just raising them up, preparing them, training them, getting them prepared for what God has called them to do.
Well, you shared some insight with me that I have not quickly forgotten. Actually, I've shared with a lot of people, and I always give you credit. But I don't know if you remember when you shared, I think it was several months ago, so you were just kind of coming on, but is to the point that you're making about encouraging them. He's like, man, what we don't realize about these teens, because I have a teenage son, and so sometimes I just see him dragging his feet, or I see him, you know, not wanting to go to school, and I just think, man, you need to get your head on straight. But you had given me the perspective of, like, we don't always understand what it takes for them just to walk, to get out of bed.
Right.
We don't know a lot of these kids, like, am I going to get broken up with today? Is my friend that was my friend yesterday still going to be my friend today?
Right.
Look at this zit I have. Everyone's going to see, like, and I feel like I'm so far removed from that teenage world that you forget just the basic weight sometimes they feel to get out of the house, the anxiety that they might be dealing with. Yeah. You know, if they forgot to do their homework, you know, this might, you know, like my son would rather skip school sometimes than go to a class that he wasn't prepared for.
For sure.
Because he's like, man, if I don't go, I'll at least get to turn it in versus if I get a zero.
Right.
So how much does that really weigh on them? And I don't know that I always give grace for that.
Yeah.
What are the things to that point? Again, I share it with other parents as well. But what other things would you say to either parents of teens, people that have teens in their life, or maybe people that work with teens, that you could kind of give us that insight to that same vein or maybe a different thought?
Right. Well, I don't want to sit here and pretend like I'm an expert.
Right. No,
I got here.
No,
I want to start with that. And also, you could probably speak to this better because I don't have teenagers. I don't want to be that guy giving all this advice. And then my kids have gone haywire and things like that. So, but I mean, I really do feel like they definitely. Okay. So I think when I was in high school, I could relate back to them because having a zit is a really big deal in high school.
Yeah.
Having a pimple in the middle of your forehead that everybody can see. Like we don't think about that, but that can literally ruin your week.
Right.
Right. That could literally make you just, I don't want to go to school today. Yeah. I don't care about history. I don't care about my grades. I don't care how this affects my future. This zit on my forehead is going to keep me in bed.
Yeah.
Right. So for that person, it's like, I feel like you still have to make them go to school, of course, right? Because at the end of the day, you're bigger than a zit on your forehead. You're bigger than all these things you're going through. The standard is the standard, right?
Yeah.
But there's grace. I was thinking about it this morning, where it's like with God, like he never lowered the standard for me when I was in high school. The standard was always holiness.
Right.
The standard was always to do what I was supposed to do. It was the standard was never to walk in sin. It was never to care more about other people than I cared about him. He always wanted me to eventually get to not where I'm at now, but kind of like, I'm still improving in this area, but the standard did not change.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say his grace was like definitely for me in the season I was in.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, and honestly, you could probably speak to this more, like how do you have grace for a kid but still keep the standard the standard?
Yeah.
Right. Because you said for parents, it's like there is a fine line where it's like, hey, I'm gonna have grace for you in the season you're at. It's hard. It's hard being a teenager.
Yeah.
And you know they're exposed. Like think about simple things like pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of people don't even see that type of stuff, or at least when I was growing up, I didn't even really see that type of stuff until I was maybe midway through high school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where now a kid 10 years old, right? 9, 8 years old can really be exposed to it, right? And just psychologically what that does to you, we don't even understand, right? But the standard is still the standard. You still need to be holy.
Right.
But how do you talk to that kid where it's like you've been exposed to these things? On one side, you have your mom and dad telling you you need to walk with God, stay close to God, right?
Yeah.
But then they go to school and they're in an environment that is saying everything against what you're saying at home, everything against what you're saying at church. So for you as a parent of a teenager, how do you keep the standard, but then still provide grace?
Well, that is a great question. I will also not speak as an expert because it's not like I have all this evidence of having done it right. But one of the things that even that your conversation taught me is that I have to zoom out, right? Because what we're seeing at the surface, because no one's going to say, or rarely would your child, if they're really bothered by their pimple, it's not going to manifest itself as like, I have this pimple. It's going to come off as something else, some other kind of thing, because it's embarrassing enough already.
Right.
So it's going to be like, oh, I feel sick, or it's kind of, because they don't want to face the fact that that's bothering them, because they'll feel silly. Like, and so it's all these other things. So what I've realized, or what I'm trying to realize, is that when I'm seeing a sign, there's usually something else behind it. So, hey, I want to stay home from school. I don't feel like going because this, and that. And like, okay, what's really going on? So I take those signals and then I take them to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Holy Spirit, what's going on? Mm. And God, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a dad. And so God's great. If you're a parent, God has graced you to be that child's parent. So there's grace in it to do what, because if God's called you to raise your child up in the way they should go, then there's enough grace on you to do just that.
Right.
So there's the grace that he'll give us by speaking to us. And then if we're listening, and this is to your point about being obedient,
right?
Because if it's just about, well, my kid is not missing school, that's a dumb reason to miss school. Or how much could you gain with your child by saying, all right, hey, let's go to breakfast. I'll go in late. You go in late.
Right.
You know, how much favor? How much can you build a relationship? Or, you know, like, again, I say this because that's a foreign that never would have happened to me. But I'm grown. I don't have to live life the way I was raised to. Like, could that do something? Right now, the standard still is holiness. The standard still is to do well in your grades.
Right.
But in other words, what we're trying to do is we're trying to learn our child. And that verse about the way that they should go, Dr. Fred pointed out to me that in the original language, you're raising them within their natural bends. Mm. So not the way you want them to go, what they're naturally bent. So you know some of their natural personality traits.
Right.
'Cause some kids, like of my kids, one of my children is super academic. They love school. They, on their own, will come do their homework. Hey, they get home. They want to do their process. That's not how I was. That's not how my first child was. So it's kind of foreign to have this other child that wants to do these things that I don't have to fight or make them do.
Right.
So that's a natural bend. So what do we do with children that are not bending the way that we would like? Again, that's where I would say tapping into the Holy Spirit. But that's where, you know, we partner with you, Pastor. You know, like, we know that it's not your job to raise our children, right? But I've gotten to come to you, not just as a colleague, but as a dad in the congregation, and say, hey, Pastor Terrence, you're my son's pastor. And I've been able to come, and I know that you would never mind a parent coming to you.
Absolutely.
And have you partnering, and again, not having you raise them,
but
hey, can you keep an eye out for this? I'm sensing some weird behavior. And you've told me like, hey, I see him here. He seems to be locked in, or hey, you know, I've noticed this and that.
Right.
And so that's where, and then maybe God's calling some of you to be youth workers.
Absolutely.
Share a little bit about what that would look like. What does it look like to serve in youth, or how does someone become a part of that?
Well, okay. So this actually fits right in. So what you said that when your kid say there's something else going on, I don't want to go to school, you'll say, hey, let's go out to breakfast, right?
Right.
Let's go out to eat. And I'm sure what that leads to is some good conversation where eventually you probably get to the heart of the reasoning of why they don't want to go to school.
Right.
And that's so important because like meeting them where they are, right? Where it's like now you have to basically humble yourself as a parent to feel like, man, I'm a grown man, I got bills, I got things to worry about, but let me get down to the 16-year-old's level to see what's actually going on. So that's really what we're doing in youth ministry right now. That's personally what I feel like what God has called me to do.
It's good.
Where it's like, since I've been a youth pastor, I've had to not go in with my own experience of what high school was like, even though it is not that long ago.
Yeah.
But I'm still learning, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly in a state of learning what these kids are going through.
Yeah.
Where we sit down and I talk to them. I ask them questions like, hey, what do you think about this? We open the Bible.
Yeah.
And I ask their opinion on it. And for so someone's time, we would go over scripture, right? And we're reading all these illustrious verses about, you know, Old Testament prophets. And of course, we're doing our job as pastors, right? But the truth is, like, some of these kids don't care about the Old Testament prophets. Right. They need help with, like man, like, is God real? You know, mm-hmm. when did dinosaurs exist, right? Yeah. Like, what does the Bible say about this specific topic, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do in the youth is we have a part where we do preach the word. We give them scripture. We give them all that. We don't abandon the preaching.
Right.
But then we take a good segment of our time and we actually sit down and we discuss it, right?
Yeah.
Where we're saying, like, how does this practically look in your life, where now we're learning our kids, because I don't want to be shooting at a target that I can't see.
Right,
like, when good. I talk to you, when you come to me, and that's why we welcome any parent, any question you have, I now know what target I'm going after.
That's good.
My kid is dealing with this. They're struggling with this. They asked me this yesterday. Oh, really? They asked you that? Now when I'm studying, I know exactly what to study about. I know what points to bring out of the message. I know what parts of help they need help with, where it's like, if I don't understand my kid, how am I going to help them? If I don't understand these teens in here, how am I going to help them? And I'm not into wasting time.
Right.
And I know as a parent, you're not into wasting time. Right. And I know for any parent watching, they shouldn't be into wasting time either. So how do we avoid wasting time? Mm-hmm. Figure out what's going on with your kid. Talk to them, you know, get to know them. Take them out to breakfast, you know. Figure out why it is that they're so concerned about a pimple. They don't want to go to school. Start to empower your kid. Put verses into your kid. Tell them who they are. Like, they're a child of God. That they're called. That they're beautifully and wonderfully made. Your kid needs to hear that. Mm-hmm. You know. And also, what we do in the youth is we're very honest with them. I'm very on my youth volunteers. Like, man, tell these kids what you've been through.
Yeah.
Right. If they're not willing to open up, tell them what's on the other side of what they want. Right.
Yeah.
You want to be a gangster. Cool. This is what's on the other side of being a gangster. You're so interested in having sex at a young age. Yeah. You don't want to break up with your girlfriend.
Right.
You can't be obedient. You can't submit. Awesome. This is what that looks like
too.
Yeah. You know. And I've grabbed brothers over the shoulder and be like, hey man, I know you love that girl. I know you think you're gonna be with her forever. But let me tell you, you might not know her in 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. But
that's
the reality.
Yeah.
But whatever you're investing in now, whatever what a man sows, he's going to reap, right?
Yep.
Whatever you're sowing into now, you will reap that. And the consequences are serious, right? So we're very honest with them.
Yeah.
Because I understand about teens. They're going to make decisions, right? We've been preached to. I was preached to at youth. Priest and Pastor Joe preached to me for years,
right.
And I still left young adults and decided to do what I was going to do,
right.
And bore some of those consequences, right? But you can't say that you didn't tell me.
That's good.
Pastor Joe can't say he didn't tell me. You guys told me the truth.
Yeah.
Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, everybody who's invested in me, they told me the truth, but I still made my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with these teens. They're not going to turn back around in 5 years and say, oh, my youth pastor didn't tell me.
Right.
They never shared with me to come. No,
if I would have known.
If I would have known.
Yeah.
No, you did know.
Yeah.
But you chose to do what you wanted to do. So as for anybody who would be interested in joining, that's all we are. We're just laying it out to them. This is the truth. This is what it looks like. Now you have to make your choice.
Right. And you have, I got the privilege to come visit a few weeks back, and I'm like, man, the worship team was anointed. I walked in on their pre-service prayer. These people they're not going to perform. They're out there. They're partnering with the Holy Spirit. You guys are encountering the Holy Spirit in your services. And then I noticed your volunteer team, your team of youth workers and leaders, we call them youth workers or leaders or whatever it is. You have an array and a diversity of different ages, of different backgrounds, and they're coming alongside and they're serving this generation. And I know, man, there's so much content out there. There's so many podcasts and books and articles about the next generation. And so I don't want to just kind of go down that rabbit trail because there's just so much great stuff. But what would be the encouragement? Because I know, again, some of our viewers, they don't have youth in their life, but there still is. What's the encouragement for them that you would see in just this kind of a day-by-day through the perspective of youth ministry? Why does it matter for them?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to give honor to words to Pastor Donnie. Left me a really good team. He built up a good team, and I've just had the privilege of stewarding that team and pouring into them, and obviously adding more.
Yeah,
but I think I'm really big on why are you doing what you do, right? And I've expressed that to all of our team. It's like, man, don't just come here to check a box. Even as a volunteer, don't just check a volunteer box.
Yeah,
you know, don't just show up here because you want to make me happy or I'm involved in a team. And don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a waste of time.
Right.
You know, figure out why you're doing what you do, right? And if you can get to the why of it, then you'll have a good team, in my opinion. You know, if you have a bunch of people who have a purpose, you know, who are getting fed from what they do, right? I feel like that's the main thing for our team. It's like, I don't want this to be about you watching me perform, right? I need you to have 3 to 5 teams that you're pouring into on a regular basis, that you're doing life with, that you're showing up for them, right? Because mm-hmm. I have the experience of being a volunteer.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know, I love you, Pastor Antonio, but I wasn't always coming to listen to you preach.
Right. No,
I wasn't coming to listen to Pastor Joe. Yeah. I don't always come to listen to Pastor Dan when I was a volunteer. I was coming here because I love the people.
Yep.
Right. There's relationships that you build. There's people that you care about, and I need to know how you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to check in on you. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. Find people that have purpose, find people that are on fire for the mission, not to serve mm-hmm. a man, but to serve the kingdom.
That's good.
Right. And I feel like from that, like, it continues to grow in a fruitful way.
That's good. I want to go back as we're kind of closing. I want to go back to kind of how you find yourself on your trajectory. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned kind of like coming around, but what was just the practical things that you found yourself doing that got you? So maybe someone's listening that feels maybe called towards ministry, mm-hmm. or maybe they just feel called to do something. And what does it take to go? You know, you were saying you were obedient. Did you kind of have a vision of where you were going? And then what were some of the components along the way that helped? And what were some of the things that you would advise to others to avoid?
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's pitfalls along the way that you're like, oh, I should avoid that. Yeah. And there's some that you know you avoided and some that you're like, oh, man, I saw them and still stepped in them, you know?
Right. That's a good question.
We didn't prep any of this stuff, but we'll get that raw.
That's a good question. Okay. Well, the first thing is, I knew I was called to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. God told me that probably like 2015. Mm-hmm. He told me that. So I knew I was called to be a pastor. I didn't know how it would turn out, though. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I just feel like, first of all, you don't know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm here now, but like, give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what tomorrow holds. So I feel like if I could go back, what I'd tell myself is, first of all, remove that pressure of feeling like you have to know where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
I don't need to know the destination.
Yeah.
Because like, if I'd have known as being a youth pastor, I don't know if I'd have been.
No, it's good.
You know, like I didn't want to deal with kids, especially when I got, heck no. Anybody in that age, I just want to stay away from.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I don't think I'd have been, but just developing that heart to trust God in every single season, you know, in the good times and the bad times. Also, like, honestly, you know, not wanting it too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like that's a pitfall I fell into, where I felt like I want this so bad that I want it right now. God, why aren't you letting me have it?
Yeah.
I think around 2022, I really felt that. It was very difficult for me to continue on.
Yeah.
I was one of the moments where I'm like, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to find something else to do. God, this isn't working. I might as well just go get a good job, make some good money. Because, like, I have a family now. I keep telling my wife I'm going to be a pastor. I'm not a pastor.
Yeah,
I'm working on the maintenance team. I'm cleaning toilets. Like I know she thinks I'm crazy. You know, this makes zero sense, right? In the physical, right?
Yeah.
But spiritually, man, God was breaking me down. I think the Bible says, humble yourself under the hand of God, so in due time, he will exalt you.
Yeah.
And I think just understanding that you're in his hands.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And in every season, I'm like, God, what am I doing here? Why do you have me here? What do you want me to learn from this? That's one of the good things I did. So when I'm staring in a toilet at 11 p.m. and I'm like, man, I'd really rather be home right now, and the smell of bleach is intoxicating my whole body.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I here? It's like, because you're This is what service looks like. This is what being a servant looks like.
Yeah.
You know, you think being on a mic is a servant? No, scrubbing that toilet is being a servant. You know what I mean? So now that I'm a pastor, I don't look down on any position.
Yeah.
I don't look at people that are doing anything less than me and think, oh, I'm better than them or I've arrived. I haven't arrived anywhere.
Right.
Because guess what? If God called me to go clean a toilet right now,
I
would go clean a toilet.
Yeah.
Because that's just the heart that I have now. Like, my heart is so broken in the things of God that it doesn't matter what he called me to do. He can tell me right now to up and move to Africa and go be a minister out there, and I'll be like, okay, like I know his voice now.
Right.
So I think just trusting him, trusting the process, and knowing that he has you right where he wants you, staying obedient, staying diligent, you know, staying in your word, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, even when I wasn't a pastor, I was always working on my gift.
Yeah.
I was preaching to myself in the car because I'm knowing if God called me to do this, one day I'm going to have to do this in front of people. So guess what? I'm not going to sit on my butt and not do anything about it. I'm going to work on my gift. I'm going to study. I'm going to work on my enunciation, get more words in my vocabulary, you know, figure out good ways of explaining things, different points of view, and study other things, and just... I was always on my craft, even when I wasn't a pastor.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. It's like, if God calls you to do it, if you know it's him, don't want it too much. Don't be so thirsty to have it that you skip steps.
Yeah.
But then also stay obedient in the process, you know, continue to work on your craft.
I love that because that's the truth. And I had the privilege of being part of your journey, and we would have those conversations along the way.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always your favorite thing to do.
Right.
But when God told you to do something, you knew you had to land. So sometimes I was just the voice that really, I wouldn't even say anything. I was just listening because you would say, man, I do this and maybe I don't feel like doing it. Like, but God said, okay, all right. And so like, it was kind of like the full circle moments that you would have of just kind of reminding yourself.
Right.
And so I can stand as a witness that you're telling the truth, that you really allowed God to break your heart and break down your vision and your idea of what it might look like. Mm-hmm. And then that uncomfortable obedience, man, better is, what is it? Really just being willing to do the obedient thing, to be obedient over comfort.
Right.
And I know you found yourself there. And again, none of us did it totally perfect or all the way right always. But you can see as where God has brought you how that's worked out. And I think that's what's encouraging for anyone listening, the people in our church. And really, I'm glad, Pastor Terrence, to have you on again for a couple of reasons, to introduce you to our podcast family, the church family, for maybe some of the listeners that don't know you or don't know some of your testimony. Well, continue to stick around. And then you're always here in the youth auditorium. Come on by, say hello. Your beautiful wife and your three children, and maybe some more on the way. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, you have hundreds of spiritual children. There you go. So, but anyways, any last thoughts before we close out?
Do we have to go right now? Are we in a rush?
No, we got something else.
One thing, mentor to mentee, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Antonio, you were my mentor. You definitely walked me through a lot of. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to anybody that's in that mentor role with a mentee? Because you saw me in some really frustrating phases. You know, I wasn't always a good mentee. Mm-hmm. There was times I'm sure I frustrated you, drove you crazy.
Yeah.
And now to see like kind of a full circle moment where it's like everything you poured in kind of has worked out in a sense.
Yeah.
Like it came to pass. What would you say to like somebody in that mentor role?
Well, thank you. Pastor Terrence, I think one of the big things that I've learned over the years, just by naturally having a pastor as a title, there is people have reverence and honor, and you know that we have a beautiful culture here of people honoring and respecting. So I've carried some of that respect and honor from people, but I've had to learn to have conversations about what that means, right? Because I'm glad that the idea of having a mentor has become more prominent and something that people pursue and desire. Because we have a pastor's heart, we want to help and serve people. But what I didn't always do, especially early on, is people would say, hey, can you mentor me or can you come alongside me in this? I didn't always lay out proper expectations. Mm-hmm. So to answer the question about what we say, I think it can never be about you. As the mentor, it's you know, it's oh my protege, and because what would happen is you had a lot of people that poured into your life.
Absolutely.
So if we become prideful and or we're seeing this person as like, just wait and till Terrence becomes a pastor or he does some of these amazing things, he's gonna shout you out and everyone's gonna give you your flowers. Oh man, you know, like it always has to be about serving and assuming that you'll never get any credit.
That's good.
Right. You'll never and not because of anything else, but just so you're preparing your heart, because then that way you can ask yourself, do I want to do this? And if you can't answer that question with, even if I never got any credit for pouring into this person's life, then don't be their mentor.
That's good.
Because you'll only be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to that person, because really maybe your self-interest is a little bit higher. Mm. So I don't know that I've ever come to you like, hey, man, be sure to say that what I did to you, and I don't go. I never wanted to be like, well, I've been mentoring Terrence since I was the first person that ever really invited. Like, you know, we can give our credentials. And so what does being a mentor mean to you? And really, as a mentor, we want to serve people. And so if there are people in your life, and even the title mentor sometimes throws people off. Mm-hmm. But if you're pouring into someone, continue to pour into them without a title, without the recognition. Because it's like you said earlier, you're sowing,
right?
And it will be I think of, there's been people that I've sowed into and maybe I'll never reap from that life, but I know someone's going to sow into my son.
Amen.
Right. And I know that I'm thinking of people that I sow into, my friends and colleagues, to their children, because I love them, because I know they're sowing into other people's lives.
Okay.
And so I know I get to be a part of them getting to reap good fruit off of that, right? Because it's like, man, it shows you our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. If someone takes care of your children, don't you love that person?
Absolutely.
It's like, it's the same thing with God. God the Father. If we're taking care of His children, man, God, your favor is gonna come from God, right?
That's
like,
right.
So if you lend to the poor, God honors that. God will pay you back. come on, man, if we're serving and loving people, who cares if that person ever gives us any credit, any payment, any kind of goods? God's taking care of us because we're taking care of his kids.
Amen.
So I think that's a way to look at mentoring or serving other people that are a little bit behind us. And I think we should all desire that. Amen. So
thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Well, guys, hi, guys. We love you. We're grateful that you stayed tuned all the way through. Got to slow myself down. And, man, like I said at the top, share, like, subscribe, comment. We love you. We're grateful for you. Talk to you later.